Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Mindful Mostly podcast. Happy New Year. I'm Andrea Collins, and I'm pretty into mindful living. I mean, mostly. I'm a girl who just wants to live her healthiest, most mindfully motivated life, but I am not perfect at it or anything. For instance, over the holidays, I stayed pretty active. I skated, I skied, did some jogging, journaled, I read some inspiring articles, but I also got pretty tipsy with my girlfriends, and then ate 7 bowls of French fries at the pub, and then went back to my parents' house and ate 1/2 a box of crackers. But I also went to a full moon ceremony on January 1st. It was pretty trippy, actually. The medicine woman channeled this British woman and even started speaking in a British accent while drumming? No lie. And then she snapped out of it and she was like, oh my God, what happened? Okay, that part didn't happen, but the rest did. But see, then I went home and I watched a bootleg copy of The Bachelor on YouTube. So this show is about that kind of balance. It's a wellness show, but an honest one. No judgment here, sister. So what do you want in 2018? That's the big question. I know I want to crush it in my career. I want to kick some bad habits. I want to be really happy and grow certain relationships, and I want to lead with my soul. I don't want to hold back any parts of who I am. I want 2018 to be the year of authenticity and new challenges. And you know what? I think that you're the same. By the way, thank you so much for all of the great feedback. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. Also, let me know what you think of the podcast. You can join the community on Instagram at Mindful Mostly. Shout out to people listening all over the world, Canada, the US, even Poland, Australia, Brazil, Hong Kong. Like what? This week, let me tell you, it is a big episode. Freaking Erin Falconer is on the show. She is one of Refinery29's top 10 women changing the digital world for good. And just this week, she dropped the book, How to Get Shit Done. Why women need to stop doing everything so they can achieve anything. In it, she shows overscheduled, overwhelmed women how to do less so that they can achieve more. Plus, we have a challenge for the week that's going to help you consume less, as in buy way less stuff. Who's feeling me on that this January? And stop being a slave to marketing. But first, it is time for the Soul Nugget Shoutout. This is where I read inspiring quotes that you have posted. Shout out to @LBryson, who says, self-care tip, unfollow every account on Instagram that makes you feel like you need to be someone else. That's really good advice. And then this one from @Northwich69 and @MoreDanielli, who wrote, my rules for 2018, no man stress, get that ass fat, get that bank account fat, get that body slim, coconut oil. Yes! How to Get Shit Done. Why women need to stop doing everything so they can achieve anything. What's up, Erin?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, congratulations, because the book just dropped. How's that feel?
It feels amazing. And you are actually my first kind of live interview. And this is from Canada, and I'm Canadian, even though I live in LA. So I'm super, super, super excited to be talking to you today.
Awesome. So tell me, did the need for this book or your interest in writing it, did it come from personal experience?
Yeah, it absolutely did. I mean, professionally, I've had a lot of highs and a lot of lows, and I kind of had to build myself back up. And in the process of just trying to do everything all the time, never wanting a moment of solitude or silence because I was afraid, frankly, to not be doing things 24/7. I managed to build up a really a great career that I'm really proud of now. But while I was going through it, I didn't stop to appreciate anything. And honestly, at all times felt like I had really accomplished nothing because I was just going. It was on to the next. And so when my agent approached me about writing a book on productivity, I was like, oh, well, I mean, I'm really not an expert in that. And she was like, what are you talking about? This is, look at everything you've done. And it literally took me, you know, 4 to 5 months to settle into the idea, like, oh, wait, no, I actually have accomplished a lot of stuff. And that was the impetus for the book. It was like, I'm busy doing so much stuff that I'm not even appreciating what I'm doing. And it all becomes really meaningless. And the burnout factor is really, really high if you don't, you know, stop to really appreciate what you're doing and own, you know, who you are and where you're going and where you want to go. And I think for women, as you said, it's particularly, you know, we're late. We've had so many challenges in career and trying to have our voice heard equally that we're constantly overcompensating and trying to get, you know, there's a fear, like if we're not doing everything all the time, something's going to be taken away from us. And so I thought, you know, if I'm feeling this way, there's probably a lot of other women that are feeling this way. And so I thought, hey, let's write a book.
Well, for sure. And I think that especially as someone who's working, let's say, and then you, okay, here's something that I would be thinking about. I love my career, but then I want to have a family. And then I know a lot of girls my age are feeling, oh no, how am I going to do all of those things? One of them's going to have to crumble, you know, like you have this idea that if you're not doing everything really, really well, that it's just going to fall away. So a lot of people get scared by the thought of having kids because they're like, what's going to happen to my career? I'm going to lose it.
Yeah, especially for women. And traditionally, that has been a big, big problem for women. That's why, and what I talk about in the book is that this digital age and the internet is designed for women. It's designed to help women because there aren't those traditional hierarchies and infrastructures to your career that there were, let's say, even 20 years ago. There are creative ways that you can kind of go around traditional workplace hierarchies. And women are used to doing so much. There are so many great apps out there that help you save time, whether it's like Instacart for having your shopping delivered or Uber or Everclear. There's a million apps that I talk about in the book. The idea, though, is that you have to use those smartly. And instead of using them to free up more time to do more stuff, you have to use them to free up time so you can relax and appreciate what you're doing and what you have. And to your earlier point about career and family, I think one of the most important things I talk about in the book is really analyzing how you're spending your time, because most of us are just going through every day, plugging our calendars and not really taking stock of how we're really on an hour to hour spending our time. And when you take the time to analyze that, you'll see there's so much time that you're either wasting or it's distracted time or it's time that you're and time and energy that you're putting towards something that actually doesn't move your main goals forward. And so that's where, when you analyze that, that's where you can start to see where you can start removing things. And so it's amazing how much time you can actually free up when you're critically analyzing how you're spending your time.
So how do you do that? Would you like write out on it, sort of like a food journal? Do you do a time journal?
Absolutely. And I'm kind of old school. There are a lot of time tracking apps that you can use and they're all great. But I literally advise in the book to do a 1 week, a 7 day time tracking challenge. And literally it's as simple as writing down on a piece of paper or inputting into your notes in your phone. Or again, you can use one of the time tracking apps, but from the time you get up in the morning until you go to sleep at night for 7 days and then analyze it on Sunday. And honestly, I'll be surprised if you're not really surprised about where your time goes, because we just don't think about it. We're just on automatic pilot, going. And that's one of the biggest problems. You can't own your time if you don't even understand how you're spending your time. Mm-hmm. So it's critical to kind of being able to shuffle things around and get rid of a lot of stuff that, as I said, is not moving the needle forward for you on a personal level.
So how can you do less and produce more.
So for I'll just give you a little example. Let's say you've got something, a little project to do at work, and you've blocked off 2 hours to do that project. If you're time tracking this, for example, you think at the end of 2 hours, you've spent 2 hours, right, on this project. And, mm-hmm. and time and again, you go, God, I just spent 2 hours on this and I really haven't, oof, I didn't make a dent. But if you really are honest with yourself and you analyze how you spent that 2 hours, I guarantee you within that 2 hours, you've scrolled your Instagram feed a couple times, you've returned a couple texts, you've returned a couple emails, you've sent an email, you've maybe logged a couple things into your calendar. And so those 2 hours are not really 2 hours. That 2 hours probably distills down into like 45 minutes. And so if you could just have concentrated time that you have dedicated, like you've put your phone away for 45 minutes, and you said, I'm not going to check emails, I'm not going to answer calls, I'm not going to do anything, I'm going to work on this for 45 minutes. If you can do that in a concentrated way, that 2 hours just became 45 minutes and you freed up an hour and 15 minutes. So as long as you're being conscientious and conscious about the process and mindful, and we hear that word a lot and a lot of people think it's a very elusive word and don't know what it means. This is an example of being mindful. It's actually having a concentrated, in the moment, you're doing one thing and you're going to do it well, and it'll take you far less time and you will have wasted far less time than if you've just scheduled something in for 2 hours and without being thoughtful about it, try and get something done. So it's really just about being mindful.
I think that's such great advice to actually do sort of like a life diet and mm-hmm. get rid of yes. the stuff that's not doing you any good. It's like Instagram is like carbs, and you may say you're not eating them, but they were in there somewhere. So
yes, I like that. That's very clever.
So let's say you've cut out the bullshit, you've cut out the time wasters, but then you still have, like, you gotta go to the gym or you have to pick up your kid from daycare. Like, how do you better manage those types of things that have to be done?
It's putting together a concrete plan. It's not enough to say, I'm going to go to the gym two or three times a week. You've got to be really specific about it. And the beginning of this process feels like it's a little top heavy and a little like there's a lot of heavy lifting at the beginning. But once you've sort of started to schedule, like really manually schedule things in a workable way, then it becomes like a good habit muscle. And after like a couple of weeks, three or four weeks, all of a sudden you start being mindful and scheduling things without having to think about it as much as you're doing right at the beginning. You know, one of the main things right now is in the workplace is this idea of flexible hours. And so not every job can do that. Obviously, a lot of jobs, there are offices and you have to, you know, they're in the service industry, you have to be there for a certain amount of time. But if you know that you can pick up your kid at like half an hour earlier and beat rush hour, then it's worth it to say to your boss, hey, I'd like to come in, I'd like to do a half an hour of work from home at 7 o'clock at night, because if I leave half an hour earlier to pick up my kid, it actually saves me an hour and a half in traffic. So there are creative ways that you can start looking at. It doesn't just have to be, I'm working from 9 to 5 and then I go pick up my kid and then I got to fit in the gym. There are creative ways. And I talk about a lot about those in the book, of not just being a slave to these traditional 9 to 5 things, because they're really, honestly, more and more every day going away. And so it's up to you to take responsibility to come up with creative ways to manage your time better. And I do talk a lot about that in the book.
Yeah, I hope the traditional model just dies sooner than later.
Away.
And you see it happening in forward-thinking companies, but in other ones, they're still stuck in that old way. And you're like, you're scared to be the only woman that goes up ahead and says, you know, can I have Wednesday afternoons off? Because then you're like, oh, I'm going to get fired, you know?
Fired. No, totally. And I think that's the thing. I think if you go in and say, can I have Wednesday afternoons off, that's not necessary. In a forward-thinking company, they probably won't even ask you and they'll say, yeah, okay, she's obviously got a reason. But for those more traditional kind of old school companies, go in with a plan. Listen, if I take Wednesday afternoon off, I will not be in the office for 4 hours, but I will, if I pick up a couple of those hours at whatever time and whatever time, actually my productivity, you'll get double from me. Because I won't be distracted. I won't be, you know, whatever. You've got to make the case. And there are the case, generally speaking, is pretty easy to make if you sit down and take the time to do it. it's really understanding who you are and where you want to go and stepping into that power and then owning it. And as a result, your productivity, your ability to say no to things that don't move the needle for you is a lot stronger. You just have a much more powerful voice. And it's doing less in general, but it's doing more of what counts for you and letting everything else go.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds amazing. And I think that that's something that we all want more of in 2018 because, girl, loading up your schedule and feeling stressed out and skipping the things that are actually important to you is not a good life.
No, it's not a good life. It's actually a terrible life. And if we just did things differently, it could be an amazing life. And mm-hmm. so that's the goal.
Erin, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Anybody
Said
that's
I'm
telling
thrilled.
Us to do less is welcome back to the show anytime.
Thank you.
All right, it is time for your Mindful Mostly Mission of the Week, your weekly challenge. And this week, it selfishly has to do with my New Year's resolution. I told myself I am not going to buy any clothes or accessories for the month of January because I don't know about you, but pre-holidays, it was getting a little out of hand. It's not like I was spending a bunch of money on a bunch of expensive stuff. I'm too basic for that. I was dropping, you know, $40 here, $50 there. But do I really need more clothes? So here is two parts of the resolution. One, unroll from all of those emails that they send us on a daily basis, right? Get 2-for-1, 40% off. Unroll from those because they always sneakily subscribe us. Plus, say that you are not going to buy XY, whatever your problem is, for the month of January. One of my girlfriends, Fallon, love her. She says she's not going to buy anything for the whole year, which that's real. That's too damn real. Make it easy on yourself. Start with just a month and let's see how it goes. Because that's what January is all about. Consuming less. Whether it's food, clothes, or reality television. But more podcasts. And that is episode 4, baby. If you're loving the podcast, subscribe so you know when a new episode drops and join the community on Instagram @mindfulmostly. I'll talk to you next time.